Blog Talk Radio.
Research at the National Archives and Beyond Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Bernice Alexander Bennett, and I want to welcome the callers and chatters to Research at the National Archives and Beyond. This show will provide individuals interested in genealogy an opportunity to listen, learn, and take action. Now, if you have logged in as a guest and you wish to participate in the chat, you can sign in through your Blog Talk, your Facebook account, or Blog Talk Radio. I will also open the lines in the second half of the show so that you can ask questions or make a comment. Following the show, you can continue this discussion on the Genealogy and History Forum of Afrogenius.com and Research at the National Archives and Beyond Facebook page. In fact, please like both pages. Well, I am so happy to welcome Teresa A. Fuller, the author of The Unseen Providence. She will share her research to uncover the truth and journey of her great-grandfather, Jackson J. Fuller, from slavery in South Carolina to freedom in DeSoto, Louisiana. So let me give a warm welcome to Teresa. Welcome to Research at the National Archives and Beyond Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, Bernice. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it is a pleasure to have you, and I have been truly looking forward to this show tonight. You know, so many people have not had this wonderful opportunity to have a journey that they can share with others, especially from slavery to freedom. So let's talk a little bit about your book. Now, what or who inspired you to write a book about your great-grandfathers?
Well, I had several influences. As a child, I grew up hearing my father talk about his great-grandfathers. His great-grandfather, Reverend Carolina Fuller, who was known as a brush arbor preacher because he was a former slave. Mm-hmm. And he preached while being a slave. And then my father often mentioned the first church that Reverend Carolina Fuller built, called Mount Moriah Baptist Church. And it was built for former slaves. And then he would mention Reverend Carolina Fuller's son, who was his grandfather. Mm-hmm. And he would always talk about the big white house that his grandfather Jack owned. It was a two-story house, and how wealthy he was. And, you know, that just aroused my curiosity. And I used to just daydream about them sometime as a child. And then in July of 2011, I attended a family reunion in Kingston, Louisiana, that consisted of only Jackson's four living grandchildren and 500 plus great-grandchildren. And while we were going on a tour to look at land that Jackson had purchased more than 100 years ago, I was overwhelmed with what I saw. as far as my eyes could see, I saw beautiful trees and the drilling of oil. My mind became inundated with questions. I kept thinking, you know, how could a former slave, Grandpa Jackson, during the post-slavery era, purchase more than 860 acres of land? Where did he get the money? It was such an exuberating experience. And the next day was Sunday, and we all met at Mount Moriah Baptist Church. That was built 154 years ago. It was built in 1860 by Reverend Carolina Fuller. And it's the largest and the wealthiest black church in the state of Louisiana. And it was ordained to be built by God before the Emancipation Proclamation. That was written in 1863 and executed in 1865. And upon walking inside of that church, you could just feel the anointing all around you. Such a beautiful place. So the next day I was on the plane, flying back to California. And I kept entertaining compelling thoughts of writing a screenplay about their lives. I felt that there was an untold saga that needed to be told. And my mind, it was just inundated during the whole flight home. Finally, I got it. I recognized that I was being inspired by the Holy Spirit to do this. And 2 weeks later, I began my research.
Well, this sounds like such a, what can I say, it's almost a spiritual awakening to have had that first wonderful opportunity to have a father to share with you the oral history. And then for you to be on the grounds that your ancestors helped purchase and then build a church and then have 500-plus descendants all in one place. I can't even imagine having that type of experience.
I was on high during the whole 3 days back there.
Oh, goodness, I can imagine. I'm on a high just listening to you.
Yes, the church is huge, and behind that church is a family cemetery. And so we had a ceremony at Jackson's gravesite, his and his father, because they both were slaves. Reverend Jackson, Reverend Carolina's son, he became bishop. Over the years, he became bishop over 30 churches, and he was known for his spirituality, his connection with God. They called him the miracle worker. So it was just breathtaking. It was very enlightening, very edifying.
Oh, I can just imagine. Well, let's talk about the name of your book. Why did you name your book The Unseen Providence?
The Unseen Providence, actually, when I first wrote the book, it was called Jackson J. Fuller. And after I compiled the story, I was led to change it to The Unseen Providence because of the true events that took place throughout the story. Many of the experiences of Reverend Carolina Fuller and Jackson Fuller were faith-based, and it became clear to me that providence, which means the intervention of God, was present with them during their slavery and freedom experience. They both were led to their destiny of freedom and success by visions, as well as unseen interventions of God.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Jackson was sold away from his father, Reverend Carolina Fuller, and his mother and siblings at the age of 5. And when the South Carolina plantation master went to the slave quarters to get Jackson to take him to be auctioned at the age of 5, neither the master nor Reverend Carolina and his family were aware that Jackson was going to be sold into freedom on that day. that was unseen intervention.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the auction, there was an anonymous abolitionist there who purchased Jackson and a female slave to care for him. And he took them both to Louisiana. I believe that the abolitionist had no idea that he was going to an auction that day to purchase a five-year-old. There again, I believe God intervened there because he was setting Jackson free. So throughout the story, there are so many phenomenal events, and you could clearly see that it's not normal. There was some intervention, and everybody surrounding them knew something was going on.
Yes. Well, you know, just listening to you, and I understand that what you're saying, the storylines are based on true events beginning in 1857 to 1930. But what research resources did you utilize to develop this story, and where did you get that particular story from about the purchasing of your great-great-grandfather at the age of five by an abolitionist?
Mm-hmm. I had several resources that I utilized to compile the storylines, and the first one was oral history.
Uh-huh.
I recollected stories told by my father, and typed all those up. And then I interviewed the four oldest relatives who are Grandpa Jackson's grandchildren in Louisiana. And I was told stories that I had actually heard before. So I compiled all of that oral data. And then I went online to a website called Documenting the American South. And that's a digital publishing initiative sponsored by the University Library at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.
Mm-hmm.
There I got the story about Reverend Jackson at the age of five being sold away from his family. There's a big write-up there.
Okay.
As well as there I got the story, a lot of information about his father, who was a slave preacher. So that was one source. And in the year 2000, one of my cousins published a book exclusively for the Fuller family's members only about our genealogy. Now, this publication was extremely viable. It consisted of historical events, photographs, dates of marriages, deaths, children. So I got much information from there. And another cousin who is known as the Fuller Historical Librarian, she emailed me family tree charts with all of the pertinent dates and marriages and children of Reverend Carolina and his son Jackson. And one other relative who found me on Facebook, because I was announcing what I was doing on Facebook, he sent me death certificates of my great-grandfathers and grandmothers.
Mm-hmm.
So that was great. And all of the supporting scenes associated with the true events miraculously appeared as visions as I typed them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was new for me. I had never experienced this. And it was blowing me away to get these scenes. And I type over 100 words per minute. So I was really doing it. It was as though I was watching television. And I contribute these scenes to Providence.
Mm-hmm.
Once the book was published and read by relatives, I received numerous calls that confirm the storylines and the scenes that I got through these visions. For example, my father never told me anything about Grandpa Jack having a large ranch. I never heard this before.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it's in the scenes that were coming to me. Months after completing the project, I received confirmation of this ranch via an email. One of my cousins, whom I got to know because of the book, sent me an a document that he got from online. It's a World War I draft registration list
mm-hmm.
for black men in DeSoto Parish, Louisiana,
mm-hmm.
Whose jobs were listed as forming and the employer Jackson J. Fuller. I rejoiced when I got this. It was exhilarating to get such confirmation. And then my mother, who was 91, she married Jackson's son at the age of 16 and lived with them. And she, I did not tell her I was writing a book. I had to keep this basically to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And when she read the book, she elaborated on just about every one of those things. I said, wow, if only I could have talked to you while, you know, compiling it.
Yes.
I could have made it even more exciting, but I was led to keep it to myself.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I did.
Well, but something, I mean, as I listened to you, you did take advantage of all of the opportunities that were given to you through the oral history of the, you said, the four oldest people in the family.
Yes.
You had your father's oral history. You had the documenting of the American South website, of which you found information on your ancestor. Plus, you had other relatives who were able to provide you with documents. So putting all of this together, and not only your guide and this spirit that was driving you to write your paper, you had a lot of information at hand to put together this book, which was
yes.
miraculous when you also had your mother to turn around and tell you even more.
Yes. It was a very rewarding experience. But yet, what I had, the dates were all necessary, and the names. And but the majority of the book and the movie, the screenplay, are the scenes. See, these were all facts that I was gathering.
Yes.
And it just, 'cause my father, he was only 5 when his grandfather Jackson died.
Mm-hmm.
So he was told stories by his father. And he remembered he had some memory of the big two-story white house. But my mother, you know, that house was just burned down like 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw it, but my older sister did.
And we have a question coming out of the chat, and they just wanted to know the name of the church again in DeSoto, Louisiana, DeSoto Parish, Louisiana.
Yes. The name of the church is Mount Moriah Baptist Church, and it's located in Kingston, Louisiana.
Okay, Kingston, Louisiana.
Yes,
yes.
And that's just a small community. DeSoto Parish consists of many small communities. Kingston is like 10 miles away from Mansfield.
Right. And so for your family, for this, the 5-year-old was actually taken from South Carolina. Do you know where in South Carolina?
Columbus, the Columbus, South Carolina area.
And taken to DeSoto.
Taken to Shreveport.
Okay.
Louisiana.
Okay.
DeSoto Parish is the rural area of Shreveport. Shreveport is like 45 minutes away.
Right.
Because the slaves.
Shreveport is in Caddo Parish, and then DeSoto Parish is the next parish over.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, because slaves didn't live near town. They when they escaped slavery, they went to the wooded areas away mm-hmm. from whites.
Mm-hmm.
And congregated, you know, and built their little homes.
Yes. Now, from your research, and I know you've been sharing some of them with us, but what is some of the informational, what we would call highlights that you learned about your great-grandfathers? And how did this knowledge make you feel?
Mm-hmm. I learned so much. I learned that my great-grandfathers, Reverend Carolina and Bishop Jackson, father and son, were powerful spiritual men of God who were removed from slavery prior to the Emancipation Proclamation in a miraculous way. They were separated from slavery at separate times, mm-hmm. and yet they were brought back together. They were reunited.
Yes.
And I learned, and I didn't know this, and I learned until I started researching, and then I learned that their mission was to spearhead and establish the infrastructure of building churches, and later to establish schools for former slaves,
mm-hmm.
children throughout DeSoto Parish. Reverend Carolina built three churches consecutively. In 1880, he built Mount Moriah, and then he built Bethlehem, and then he built Antioch. And when Jackson grew up, he had become educated. He took those churches and had them certified by the state of Louisiana to become schools during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And that was quite brilliant.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And he did this throughout DeSoto Parish.
Mm-hmm. Now, was, and as far as you know, the five-year-old, that is that Carolina Fuller?
The five-year-old is Jackson Fuller.
Is Jackson Fuller.
Yes,
and
his father
Jackson
is.
Fuller educated, to your knowledge, as a young boy?
Yes, yes. The story that I got offline, it said, the publication through the University Library of University of North Carolina indicated that he, you know, would walk 4 miles one way to a teacher, two teachers, husband and wife,
mm-hmm.
Mr. and Mrs. Brown, and they taught him math. And his father, Reverend Carolina, had already taught him how to read, because he was taught how to read in slavery by a little white boy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that again was providence, God intervention, because the only book available was the Bible. Mm-hmm. And the little white boy he met in the woods, who became like his brother, Reverend Carolina, the slave preacher, God wanted him to know about Christianity,
mm-hmm.
because he was an African slave.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this little white boy come into his life to teach him how to read from the Bible.
Yes. And at that particular time, many of those who were enslaved were illiterate. And certainly it was almost against the law to teach them how to read.
It was against the law. If you were a slave, you were not to be seen or caught with a book. That was a miraculous thing that took place there. His master had no idea that he knew how to read.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But God has a way of making things happen that He wants to happen.
Yes, God certainly does.
And that's how He was able to, you know, preach to the slaves in secrecy.
Mm-hmm.
Under a brush arbor.
How did it make you feel? I mean, as you are. Even as you're saying this, I mean, how do you feel about finding this information out about your ancestors?
Well, the knowledge was edifying to me, exciting, and because there's nothing greater than knowing where and who you come from.
Oh, yeah.
Having this knowledge about them and their achievements, it defines the leadership and spirituality that prevails in the characteristics of many Fullers that I know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It explains a lot of things, a lot of characters.
Yes.
My sister was very much like my great-grandfather Jackson. I used to hear my father say, "Oh, Barbara is just like Grandpa Jackson," the things that he heard about him,
mm-hmm.
because she was very spiritual,
mm-hmm.
beautiful. She was like an angel on earth.
Mm-hmm.
So I found out, you know, from my research that old saying, apples don't fall far from the tree is very accurate.
Oh, wow.
I see a lot of my great-grandfather's adventurism, their achievements. I see a lot of it in me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well,
you know.
I'll tell you what we're going to do right now. We're going to stop, and we're going to have a quick break, come back, and continue some questions. And for those of you who want to call in, I will give you the call-in number so that you can also participate in this discussion. Quick break. Archives and Beyond Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Bernice Alexander Bennett, and you can join me every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, where I will have an expert to share resources, stories, and answer your burning genealogy questions. Remember, all of my guests share a deep passion and knowledge of genealogy and history. Well, you have been listening to Teresa A. Fuller, the author of The Unseen Providence. Well, she has just shared with us a story, which is true, about her ancestors who were born in slavery in South Carolina and then moved, not just moved, but were removed with the help of an abolitionist to Louisiana, where they were successful in building the church. And so there's a question coming out of the chat right now for you, Teresa. And the question is, based on your findings, what was the most intriguing or interesting part of this journey to you?
Well, you know, I found everything that I discovered intriguing. Just about most of the highlights that I mentioned previously I was ecstatic from learning this. The book is just filled with so many different events that took place. I really can't pinpoint just one incident. The book is compelling, inspirational. Maybe I could say that from having done this research, I was empowered.
Mm-hmm.
I was empowered with a faith and hope that there is nothing that I can't achieve as long as I believe, after seeing what all they did during such a difficult era.
Yes, yes. And that sounds like something that would empower you.
Yes, it was very empowering.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you would like, any of you would like to ask a question or make a comment, please call 646-200-0491 and press 1 to speak to the host. And there's a comment coming out of the chat, and it's just saying, empowered, love it. Her ancestors are working her. And then there's another response, yes, they are.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's nice to hear.
Yes, very nice. Someone else has said they love the trailer. And we can talk about the trailer, but briefly, share with the audience the story synopsis. While I'm waiting for callers to call in, remember, 646-200-0491 and press 1 to speak to the host.
Okay. The synopsis, I've shared a little bit of the synopsis previously, but again, Jackson was a little African slave boy in Columbus, South Carolina, sold away from his family at the age of 5 and purchased by an abolitionist who took him to freedom. And later on, the abolitionist made arrangements to have his family escape the plantation and be reunited with Jackson. Jackson, he fought all odds against him. As you all know, the slavery era, post-slavery era, was a very dangerous time for blacks. Jackson knew no fear. He was a very well-known preacher man who had a connection with God. God watched over him, protected him. The KKK attempted to kill him twice, and both times they failed. As a matter of fact, they feared him after their attempts because of what happened to them. I will not tell you what that was. You're going to have to read the book to find out.
We have questions coming in here, so
okay.
I want you to continue to talk, but we're going to take a question. And this question is coming from area code 401. Area code 401, as soon as I see your light come on, then you're live, area code 408. You have a question or a comment?
Yes.
Are
you able to hear me?
Yes, yes.
I'm just wondering, this sounds like a fantastic story. Is this available online?
Yes, it's available at Amazon.com as a paperback for $13.99 or as an ebook. You can download it.
Ah, that's great. Well, for now, any further questions? It just sounds like an amazing story.
Yes, I find it to be extremely powerful, exciting, inspirational. And the reviews
like
that
it sounds like an American story. I mean, it's not just black history. It sounds like it encompasses everything, right? I mean, this is part of American history.
This is American history. It's a story about a black family, but it's for everybody. This is during the Reconstructuring after slavery. And black Americans played a major part in that. We were here from the beginning.
Okay,
well,
thank you very much. We have another caller calling in from area code 314. You're alive, 314?
Yes, how you doing? My name is Lamont, and I wanted to make a comment.
Yes.
Because I read the book, and to me, yes, it's American history, but it's when I say it's, you know, it's cited to African American because, you know, it's about us, but when you read the book, you will see, like, Carolina's Friend, how it all, what I want to say, plays in towards Providence, and you will see how the the abolitionist, who he took, how all that played into Providence also.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those things you will see when you read the book. I don't want to give out all of the information in the book because I want people to buy it. But my question would be why, I mean, to me this book should be read in history classes, you know, in America, just because of, you know, the things that happened, the things that are true, and the things that are documented that you can see for yourself. And I guess my question would be to the author, has anyone, you know, any school or college or high school called to inquire about getting the book?
No, not at this time. However, the book is still fairly new, and I will have to be the one to really make contact with the schools to make them aware of this book, because I don't have a traditional publisher out there to do that for me. I am with an online publisher, CreateSpace, and they do send a list of all their books to schools and to different bookstores, and my book is on that list. However, I believe that I will be the one to get them into the schools, and that's going to take a little time for me because I'm really trying to market this screenplay right now to become a movie. So it's on my calendar to get that done.
Well, you have another question coming in, and this question is from area code 310. Area code 310, you're live. You have a question or a comment?
Yes, hi. I really enjoyed your book, Ms. Fuller, and I wanted to know, when can we see this on the big screen? And I have another question. How long did it take you from start to finish? How long did it take you to write this wonderful story?
I didn't do it in a traditional way. Usually when there is a movie and a book, the book is written first and then a movie. I was led to do the screenplay first, and because it miraculously came to me, it took me 8 weeks, and the screenplay is epic. It's I was told by one producer who looked at it that it's in the category of Color Purple, the magnitude of it, and I had no idea I had generated something like that because that was my first time. Mm-hmm. So 7 weeks for that, and then I waited a month and I was led to do the book, and I panicked because, you know, that was so much typing. And I said, a book. And then it occurred to me, and again, that was Providence. The book is already written. I want you to put it in a file, a blank file, and format it into a book. And having that ability, because I was a former editor for technical manuals at one time, I was able to transfer the screenplay into a Word file, format it, and get it edited. And altogether, that took 1 month. And after I did that, it was published in 24 hours because of the online services.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like, and then we have several questions coming out of the chat, and we still have another caller on the line. Do you feel, does she feel she has told the whole story, or is there still more to find based upon your research? This is a question coming out of the chat.
Well, I feel that I have found what I was supposed to find. There's always, I'm sure I don't have every integral detail of their lives, but being that the story was... the scenes that came, I think those were the scenes that were supposed to be shared.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's always more to something.
There's always.
But I think I have the most important information.
Right. Well, we have another question. Caller on the line, this area code 559. Do you have a question or a comment? Area code 559.
Hi there. I just wanted to let Teresa know that was a really awesome book that I read, really awesome, and I hope everybody else gets to read that same book. I was really blown away with a lot of stuff in there, and I too don't want to give half of that information out because I want people to read that. Her generation of amazing people, her family history, reading that book made me felt like there was a prophet there. And in my heart, I really felt that way with them. Just amazing. I hated for it to end, the book to end. I needed to read more about this family who drew me really close. There's actually, I'm not a good reader, and I don't like to read books, but this book was was amazing that I read. The only book I really read is the Bible. And I read the Bible, and I get a lot out of that Bible. But somehow, when I read this book, it was amazing. It was great. It started from the beginning to the end, where there was destiny, where everybody came into part. There was something about everybody being in that situation, and God put them together.
Mm-hmm.
And in that book, that's how I felt. And again, and I completed a book in my entire 50 years. I completed a book, and that book drew me closer to my faith, my belief. And I hate to say this, but back then, they had belief, they had faith that someone was going to help them,
mm-hmm.
just help these people with the tragedy they went through and everything. But they still had faith. They mm-hmm. still, they were beaten, et cetera, et cetera. But they had faith, and we forget that now. And a lot of people are not carrying that faith with them right now. It just was an amazing book, just amazing. And thank you, Teresa, for that book.
Well, thank you for those wonderful comments. I appreciate
them. Thank you.
Wow, Teresa. Well, you know, when you think about people and where they came from, especially those who were enslaved, they had to have some type of faith to survive and move forward. And it just sounds like, just based upon the people who are calling in, that you're conveying that in your book. Well, you know, we have the lines of you should see all of the people who raised questions.
Oh, my.
Yes,
oh, that's great.
More. So area code 314, you have a question or a comment?
Yes, I had called in earlier. I just wanted to make another quick comment. This is Lamont again. I heard somebody talk about it, like the color purple, and somebody said something that's kind of like roots, I guess you could say. But this is, to me, totally not like that. And that's why it's so different. And that's why when it becomes a movie, it'll be totally, I mean, to me, it'll be just an amazing movie, because it shows everything in a perspective in which I always wanted to be in it. And, you know, it was really something, stuff we should be doing now. But a long story short, I think it'll be a great, great movie. And I think it'll be better than Roots and Color Purple, because it shows African-Americans in, what I want to say, in leadership and doing things for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And also helping others, including all Americans in the story. They'll
mm-hmm.
help a lot of folks in the story.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
yes.
why you, when you, that's why I want people to read it. I don't want to give all the stuff out, because I can give you quick moments that I liked about the book. And the only reason I got the book is because my sister told my aunt about the book. My sister didn't read the book. She just told my aunt about it. My aunt told me about it. She read it. She said it was pretty good. But it's something that I would like, and it is.
Yeah.
It's beyond what I would like. This is the type of book I should have been reading when I was younger, to
right.
make a long story short. But that's my comment. Thank you,
right.
Teresa.
Thank you.
It sounds like it's a story that if some of the young people could read something like that today, and to see that everybody can achieve. And if you can achieve from being a little boy who was enslaved to doing what the Fullers did, then I guess everybody can get there. We
That's
have another
right.
caller coming in. This is area code 310.
My sister told my aunt.
Area code 310.
Hello?
Yes, you're online.
Hello, my name is Denise Jackson. And first of all, I wanted to call and congratulate my Aunt Teresa Fuller. This is my aunt. I'm her oldest niece. And I just wanted to tell her that I love her. This is just such a wonderful story. And I feel so honored as the oldest grandchild to be a part of this amazing family and this amazing discovery. So I just wanted to call to tell you I embrace you. I honor this story, and I'm sure everybody else will, and I cannot wait to see it go to the big screen. This is amazing, 100% golden. Thank you, and I love you.
Thank you, Denise, and I love you. Lovely comment. Appreciate it.
Wow. Well,
almost brought tears to my eyes.
Oh, I can imagine it bringing tears to your eyes. You know, and I just have the people in the chat and chatters, please feel free to ask your questions. But when you have an opportunity, and I've had a show on writing, and I've had Anita Paul come on, and I've had others come on talking about writing your memoirs and telling your stories, this is one of the things that I think you're basically empowering the listeners to get it in writing, tell it, share what's going on, because we have many, many individuals of African descent,
yes,
who have had similar experiences, and it's not in writing. The story is not being told, and you have told the story, and you're sharing that with others, and this is something that we all need to do. I need
yes.
to do it. Everyone yes. who's on the chat, all of those who are researching their history should be putting that history in writing, because you know what? You are a descendant. You have survived. You have gone to the next level. And this is something that came to you from, as you said, you have seen what has happened to the Fuller people. And that character, it came from somewhere, and it's beautiful. Well, we have another caller online.
Okay.
Area code 209. Area code 209, do you have a question or a comment?
This is Michael Cureton from Brothers of the Spiritual Testimony. I just want to give a shout-out to Teresa for doing a great job and for your radio station that is airing it. I think it's magnificent that you have people of local descent. I mean people that just regular people that are doing some things for their family that we've been stressing and pressing for people to do all along. Teresa, shout-out to you. God bless you. The book is wonderful, the parts that I've have read about, but all the brothers have come back, and pastors have said, ooh, wow, that is nice. Can't wait to get on the screen. So shout out to you. Just as soon as possible, we're going to have everybody, the family and the kids and the older people to come out and see it. God bless you. God bless you, and may God keep you.
Thank you so much, Michael, for calling in. I appreciate it.
Amen. God bless you.
Okay, now there's a comment coming out of the chat, and they want you to know that they love your book and that it made them feel as if they could do anything if they have faith and persevere. The book moved the chatter, and they can't wait to see this one on the big screen, which is a wonderful testament to you and your ability to capture the essence of what has happened with your family. Now, there's another question out of the chat, and it says, is the story being handed down? You know, you talked about 500 descendants at a family reunion in 2011. Are they passing the story down to other family members?
I'm a little disappointed there. There are so many of us. And mind you, at that reunion, that was just Jackson's great-grandchildren. Jackson has brothers and sisters who have just as many great-grandchildren. And I don't think all of them are aware of this book yet. I try to reach out to as many Fullers as possible with press releases and having it announced at Mount Moriah. And yet, not many members of Mount Moriah have even purchased this book.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that once the movie, once a screenplay becomes a movie and they start doing a lot of advertising of that, then the book will pick up.
Yes, yes.
And sell.
Yes.
And I believe the movie is not far from now.
Right.
I believe something will be happening soon.
Well, I have just a question. You know, believe it or not, we're getting almost close to the end of the show. But what recommendations would you offer to others who are searching for their roots and feel compelled to write a book?
I would say go with your dream, your desire. You could do it. You know, pray and ask God for guidance. and he will give it to you. God is no respecter of person. I think if most of us begin to rely on that supernatural help, we'll find that our lives will be much easier and more successful.
Mm-hmm.
The theme, you know, of this story is beating all odds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a known fact that many Americans are losing their faith and hope every day.
Yes.
So I say stay encouraged and go forth and start collecting your data. Start interviewing family members. And even if your publication is not for the public, then do a book for the family.
Mm-hmm.
Share the information like my cousin did in 2000. That is one of the most powerful books she could have ever published. And it wasn't for the public. It was for the family to have information about their history.
Mm-hmm.
And from your book, if you do it that way, perhaps someone further down, you know, will pick up that book and say, hey, I'm going to write a story.
Mm-hmm.
For the public from this data. So sometime, you know, you can write books for different reasons. I was led to do this because the theme of the story is, it's a very timely theme. It's a known fact that 37% of Americans are without jobs, hope, and faith.
Mm-hmm.
Their spirits are broken. They've stopped looking for work. And every day they're losing their way to success. Throughout the world, people are experiencing a multitude of unfamiliar challenges.
Mm-hmm.
We're living in some very strange times.
Yes.
And
yes.
So this book, I believe, will because some people have called it and said so, I believe it will empower them, every reader, with a faith, a hope. It'll give them a new mindset to go out and change circumstances in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's why this book was being inspired to be written.
Yes, yes. And it's a beautiful thing, you know, a theme of hope, a theme of inspiration, because you're right, so many people have almost given up.
Oh, yes.
And they've almost forgotten to, well, you know, how did you get here? Because, you know what, people did survive. They survived and they thrived and they moved forward on something. There was something guiding them.
Well, can I just say this?
Sure.
America was established. That Constitution supposedly was written, our laws were written based on scriptures. So, in essence, Americans used to be more God-fearing. Now, in America, we could seldom mention the word God without offending people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I say go back to the way we were when America was a great country. America still is greater than most countries, but we are falling fast because God's acknowledgement is being removed from our society at a fast pace, and that's scary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is why there's so much failure. This is why spirits are broken.
Well, tell the story is what you're doing, and sharing the story with all of us tonight is something that we needed to hear. So I want to thank you so much. Now, do you have any parting words before we close out tonight?
Yes, I would like to thank all the callers for calling in with your wonderful comments. It was very encouraging for me. And I would also like for you to follow me on Twitter. That's Tahila Inc., Tahelainc.
Would you spell it again, please?
Tahila Inc., T, like in Teresa, Ahelainc. That is my Twitter name, Tahila Inc.
Mm-hmm.
Follow me there. You can also, when you go to my Twitter page, I have the video trailer there, the movie trailer, and also a movie pitch trailer telling why it should become a movie.
And there is a parting comment coming out of the chat, and this is from Sherman Houston. And Sherman is saying he just wants you to know. He just wanted to say one more thing. The book moved him to tears. Not only did Jackson and his family overcome slavery, but they didn't allow themselves to become slaves to their surroundings and circumstances. They truly overcame.
Yes, they did.
Thank you so much, Sherman Houston, Jr., for sharing this comment tonight. Well, I want to just tell everyone about my show next week, May 16th. Now, many of you have probably heard Edward Ball's story about slaves and the family. Now, this book was written in 1998, and he told the story of his family's history as slave owners in South Carolina and of families they once enslaved. Slaves and the Family won the National Book Award for Nonfiction, was a New York Times bestseller, was translated into 5 languages, and was featured on Oprah. You may have seen Edward Ball apologize to some of the individuals whose ancestors were on the Ball plantation. Well, he is going to join us next week just to go back into the journey of this book and what he learned about his family. So please join me next week. Well, I'd like to just say good night, everyone, and special thanks to you, Teresa, for joining me tonight. And I want everyone to remember, your ancestors left footprints. Therefore, you shall follow the clues that are presented to you through oral history, just as Teresa shared with us, family records, research at the National Archives and beyond. I also want to remind everyone to register for the Midwest African American Genealogy Institute in St. Louis. Well, you can continue this discussion tonight on the Genealogy and History Forum of Afrogenius.com and the Research at the National Archives and Beyond Facebook page. Also, everyone, remember to listen to the African Roots podcast with Angela Walton Raji on tomorrow and Nurturing Our Roots with Antoinette Harrell on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Thank you so much for joining Research at the National Archives and Beyond Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Bernice Alexander Bennett, president of BB's Genealogy and Educational Services. And my website is www.genieberoots.com. Now, remember, everybody, all of my shows are available as a podcast immediately after the broadcast. So good night, and I look forward to you joining me next Thursday. Good night, everyone. Good night, Teresa.
Good night, Bernice.
Thank you.
And thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.